on to the Pitching In NPL show. And you join us in the middle of August, just on the eve, the cusp, if you will, of a brand new season. And here for a little preview of the upcoming season in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, I'm joined this week by the return of two dear friends. James Hayes, social media officer from the Northern Premier League. Hello, James. How are they?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing?
All good. All good. Good to be back. And joining us from the great county of Cheshire, it's non-league reporter, it's Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo. How's things?
Really good. It's great to be back. I think we've had a proper break this time, which is nice. So bring on the new season.
Yes.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
More on James's trials and tribulations shortly. But as well as James and Simo's point of view on this preview show, we're also going to be hearing shortly from some very special guests. Thomas Feeney, non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. Mark Carruthers, football writer from the northeast of England. He'll be joining us too. From Whitby Town Radio, Andrew Snaith. And Luke Edwards from 26-0 will be joining us this week as well. But Simo, here we are. We're pre-recorded this on Wednesday. Let's pretend it is Friday. How excited on a scale of 1 to 10 are you about this upcoming season?
Always excited, but I am excited for this one. I mean, there'll be cynics out there who say, well, just substitute Sal Shields for Macclesfield and kind of, you know, tip an obvious winner for the Premier Division title and let's all get on with it. And there's no doubt that they will start as favourites to win promotion. But they're not going to have it all their own way. And that's why I'm really excited. I think they're going to be really pushed. I think we will have a title race. And I think we'll have our traditional bun fight for the playoff places as well with a queue of teams, not just the ones who were up there last season, but another queue of teams forming who want to crack at the top five. So the bit that is the cliche is just to say how competitive it is. But that is going to be true again. And it's going to be really exciting as a result.
Now, unfortunately, Berkey is unable to make this recording this week. But no doubt, if he was here, he would say Macclesfield will be winning this league by 10 points. And I did jokingly say to him, just send me a recording of you saying Macclesfield and I'll do the rest. Because that is the old cliche. But he was quick to say in our pre-production meeting that he kind of agrees with you. It's not going to be as clear cut this year. And I don't think anyone at Macclesfield thinks that way either. Like Sal Shields, for example, who needed a couple of run-ups at it to get out of this league, because it is a tough league, James.
It is indeed. I think this is probably one of the toughest seasons you've got on record. It's about seven or eight sides really ramping up, thinking, you know what, this is our campaign. It's looking at how a lot of the teams have built up during the pre-season period. You're going to need a good start this year. The last couple of years saying, oh, you could drop points early on, get back. I don't think that's the case this year at all. We're going back to 10, 15 years ago where we had like 9 or 10 contenders. You have to win to make sure you're in that top five towards the end of the season. And I think Macclesfield will be looking at the likes of South Shields. I said it all last year. Charlie's run. They had to go on massive runs to win the league itself. So we're in for, I think, probably the closest season we've had in quite some time. And that's going off last year when we had a really close season too.
Yeah, we really did. And Simo, you cover all non-league matters with regards to Mid-Cheshire. And, well, last season at Step 4, Macclesfield were beaten by two teams from your neck of the woods, weren't they? So I think they'll have learned from last season's promotion.
Yeah, I saw Matt quite a lot last season. Not just with Matt with my Northwich hat, and just I saw them on other occasions as well. A couple of things to note for people who weren't following it closely. They have had a managerial change since the end of the season. So Neil Danz was their head coach for the run-in and kind of saw them over the line to win the West Division title. But very soon after the end of the season, he accepted an offer to go to Tranmere Rovers in the Football League as an assistant manager there. And what they've done is they've offered that head coaching position to Mark Duffy, who actually, I think this is going to be a smooth transition. What they did a lot during the second half of last season is that Neil Danz was out on the field still playing in centre of midfield and Mark Duffy was on the touchline. They'd both been playing earlier in the season when Danny Whittaker was in charge, but they made a change and Mark Duffy was quite often on the touchline kind of directing operations from there. So I think it'll be quite a smooth transition in that respect. Macclesfield also, after kind of getting a reputation for signing lots of players in the last 18 months, 2 years or so, have had quite a settled summer. They've just made signings here and there, but very largely are going to be loyal to the group that ended the season. And I think that's really true. They kind of were making signings with promotion in mind anyway. But they have made a couple of eye-catching signings. So Tom Pears coming in from Curzon Ashton, who scored a lot of goals in the National League North last season to lead their attack, I think is a really clever signing. But the other thing I would say is they have kind of strengthened what I would have pointed out to be one of their weaknesses. They were a little low on what I would say legs or lungs or energy in midfield, and they've been very clever in the signings they've made in the centre of the field. A name that's very, very familiar to everyone who listens to this show and who watches the Northern Premier League is Paul Dawson, and he's moved from Bamber Bridge over to Macclesfield, which is a brilliant signing. They've also brought in former pro John Nolan to play in midfield as well. And I think that's where they did need to do a bit of surgery. So ominously for everybody else, I think they've been quite clever in the transfer market. So they're probably feeling very good about the squad they've assembled.
Two teams are coming up with Macclesfield for this season out of step four. In the West, joining Macclesfield was Workington, who came up via the playoffs. They're back at step three this season. And Worksop Town rejoin the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, out of the East Division. More on Worksop in a second. But Simo, just to mention for Workington, I remember their relegation. That was a big surprise that season when they got relegated. They've come back. They could have come back sooner, but COVID got in the way very much so. So what do you think is possible from Workington this season?
I think they'll be really confident. I mean, they actually had a very slow start to last season, and we're kind of nowhere after the first kind of couple of months or so, and there were a little bit of concerns over whether that was that hangover, if you remember, when they missed out on the title on the last day of the season by failing to beat Market Drake when all they needed to do was pick up 3 points against a team that had already been relegated. And I do think that did carry over a little bit into the start of last season. But what they did very, very successfully from kind of mid-September onwards is they went on a fantastic run. Kind of Danny Granger got the side as he wanted it. And a couple of things that really stood out to me. Workington were one of the kind of these specialists who scored late in games. They picked up loads of points from scoring in the last 15 minutes of game. So really resilient, kind of never say die. And that was also backed up with another stat of they were the team that picked up the most points last season in the West Division from 1-0 down. So yes, they don't panic when they go behind, and they kind of figure out ways to get back into game. So they've also had a pretty much kept together the team that got them promoted. And I think that's really important when you get promoted, to kind of have that stability and that continuity. One blow they have had is they've lost Ruben Jerome, who scored a lot of goals from last season. He wasn't the top scorer, but he was a really important figure for them up front. He's kind of, travelling's become too much for him to go up to Cumbria, and he's moved closer to home. They're not really replaced him in the signings they've made so far. So that's something to keep an eye on, whether they can get enough goals. But I have no concerns for them at all. I think they can be very competitive and certainly look to be, if not mid-table, maybe pushing into the top half.
And let's talk about another team who are expected to be competitive, James, Worksop Town. Just remind the listener where we are at the moment with Worksop Town and their unbeaten run.
So they'll start the season 37 unbeaten in the league. The English record is held by Arsenal at 49. So 12 games in, tie it, 13 breaks the record. Obviously, they've got cup competitions in the meantime, but they've had an impressive pre-season. Got the likes of Regan Hutchinson and Conlon Daniel coming in as well. So they've strengthened up really. But when you've got 6-7 players who are in the team of the year for the East Division. So I think for them this year, yeah, they're going to be competitive side and they are going to be hard to beat. But again, the final part one for the season is going to be, can they break the English record early doors?
We'll all be kind of looking in the upper half of the table, I would say. Macclesfield, I don't think, will hide the fact that they want to challenge for the title at all. So I think that's no secret. But the other two definitely will, I think, be quietly confident and want to make an impact in the top half of the table. And it wouldn't shock me in the slightest for both of them to do that.
Well, let's have a little chat now about Bradford Park Avenue. And that leads me to our first guest on this week's show. And it's a big welcome back to non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennines. It's Mr. Thomas Feeney. Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you, mate. Here we go. Yes. The excitement I've been building for weeks now, can't I?
Yes, well, welcome back, Thomas. And we're almost off and running. And we'll get to Guiseley in a second. But let's just talk about Bradford Park Avenue, because Guiseley did the same relegation last year. And obviously, it's a difficult relegation. What are you expecting from Bradford Park Avenue? Can they bounce back first time round?
Well, I think it was an encouraging statement that's been put out regarding the hybrid training model that they'll be going down now. And obviously, as well, some of the players they've been able to keep, you know, with the work that Mark and Danny do, and Ollie Johnson and people like that behind the scenes, it is such an important thing that they kind of had some continuity. Ollie will still be in a playing role as well as coaching. But to me, my immediate thought was, how do you do it? Because there are teams that get relegated and they completely change everything. It's a new manager, a new set of players. Park Avenue have kind of tried to keep that bit of continuity. And I've got to say, keeping George Sykes Kenworthy is just, for me, what a statement that is, because he is a goalkeeper who, he shouldn't be playing at this level. He should be playing at least National League North, if not a bit higher. So, you know, that's a great start. And then obviously being in this model of kind of, they've gone down this route that it looked like it might happen last season if they'd stayed in the National League North, to be this hybrid training model. So to be going ahead with those plans in the NPL Prem, I think it is just a really encouraging move for them. And at the start of the season, you always look and go, right, they're going to do well, they're going to do well. You don't particularly look at the negatives, but I do feel like Park Avenue are certainly going to be giving this a good shot to be trying to go back up at the first attempt.
Do you feel as well that that's the, I mean, we'll catch up with Mark in the coming weeks, but do you feel that that's the target for Bradford Park Avenue, given, you know, the model of training and the facilities, the fact they did get relegated? Do you feel like the target is to bounce back first time round if possible?
Well, I think with that kind of statement of intent with the training situation, the way they went down last season as well, I know teams kind of, it's that old excuse of, oh, right, you know, if these players hadn't got injured, they'd have been okay. But it did seem last season like every other week there was a big injury being announced by the club, and they feel like they've been able to keep some of the key players. They've got players that obviously know the level as well, and feel good factor with all these announcements that have been made, it is certainly there. So for me, they will be definitely giving it a real good go to get in them top places. Whether they do or not, though, obviously remains to be seen.
Well, let's go to Guiseley now. Obviously, last season was, you know, the hope was to bounce back first time. It didn't work out that way. At Christmas, Paul Phillips comes in, proper whirlwind effect, and, you know, the form, a real upturn in form. However, it did dip slightly towards the end. But what's your thoughts on this season? Now Paul's had a pre-season under his belt. The recruitment's been there. So what's the general vibe about Guiseley for this season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to panic people, but the last time I felt confident about a Guiseley season, a global pandemic happened halfway through it. So, but I think the big thing for me is kind of, you know, Paul Phillips, obviously last season, the way it ended wasn't good enough, you know, and I think it's well known that it wasn't good enough, really. But I think the big thing was, if you're going to have a bad blip, that's probably the time to do it, you know, where you've no threat of getting relegated, you've no threat of anything bad happening. And it kind of, the whole season kind of just ended with a bit of a whimper, but, you know, key things were learnt from that. And I think if you're able to get a player like Tom Denton in, who, if you can play to his strengths, which Guiseley will be doing all they can to do just that, I mean, he's a guaranteed goal machine, isn't he, really? You know, he's someone who, just because of his physicality for a start, he will be getting goals for them. And there'll be a couple of other additions that are going to be announced that I feel, you know, you would definitely say are rather exciting for Guiseley fans. And there's real optimism. And I think, you know, you look at the pre-season results and the performances as well, and against, you know, a couple of National League North sides included in that. Yeah, there's genuine hope and optimism that this season, while last season, you know, went the way it went, this season can be the season where Guiseley do really challenge to get promotion back to the National League North.
Yeah, and I asked you, obviously, you know, about what's the expectation do you feel at the Horsfall Stadium? What's the expectation do you feel at Nevermore Park? Is it to be, well, I'd imagine it's to be better than 13th, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think, again, it's that thing of, to me, if you said at the end of the season both Guiseley and Park Avenue are promoted, I wouldn't be massively surprised. I do think both teams will be in and around them top five places. Whether they can or not remains to be seen. But what I do think is, you know, with Guiseley, lessons really have been learnt from last season, and kind of You know, there were two really bad blips for the side in terms of form. If those lessons can be kind of put out and shown, then, you know, maybe this can be the campaign the Lions do go back up.
And obviously, this is the preview show. Later I'll ask Simo and James for their predictions. But while I've got you here, it'd be remiss of me not to get your predictions for the top five. I'll let you do it in any order, because I've not asked you this in advance. But what do you feel is the top five? I'm assuming you are going to put Guiseley and Park Avenue in that mix.
I was going to say, does my head rule my heart on this or not? So I think Radcliffe are going to go up automatically. I do feel like Guiseley will be in the top five. I don't know if second or third, but I feel like the top five is where it'll be. I feel like I've bigged Park Avenue up enough to kind of say Park Avenue. And then I'm really struggling. I feel like Hyde United, after what happened last season and kind of the way they played. I know they've lost a couple of key players, but I do feel like they've obviously got someone in charge who knows and will have learned a lot from last season. So I'm going to say Hyde. And I feel like, as a guest on your show, I've got to say FC United of Manchester.
Well, God bless you, Thomas, anyway, for that prediction. Really, really appreciate it. Was that five?
I think it was.
Yeah. Well played. Well, Thomas, big thank you for coming on this preview show to walk us through the mood at Bradford Park Avenue and at Guiseley. Before you go, just a quick plug as well. There will be radio commentary this weekend for Guiseley's trip to Hyde United, and not just on 26-0, but Guiseley do have their own radio station as well. But that's a big game to get the season started, isn't it? But so's Bradford Park Avenue against Macclesfield. So based on what we said, the West Yorkshire clubs are going to be very much involved this season. How could people follow your non-league musings before you go?
If you want to be bored, Richard, it's at Thomas Feeney on whatever that social media site is called now.
Non-league reporter from the other side of the Pennine, Thomas Feeney there. What I think we should do is now, because we've had a good natter there about clubs who have joined us from below, from step four, and obviously Bradford Park Avenue's case from the National League North. But joining that little gap between Matlock Town and Gainsborough Trinity, we've got three clubs: Worksop Town, who we've already mentioned, but also Ilkeston Town and Basford United, who join us in a sidewards move. What do they call it? There's a term, isn't there, James? Lateral.
Not coming back.
A lateral movement.
A
lateral movement. Yes, that's what Basford United and Ilkeston Town have been through. Basford finished 15th. In the Southern Central. Ilkeston, admittedly, you know, their first season back at step three, they finished seventh, but they've had a management departure with Jamie Ward departing the club. Gary Haywood is back in management in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. So, but what are you expecting from both these teams this season?
Well, Basford, obviously, for those who've listened to the show for a fair while, narrowly missed being relegated from the Northern Premier League, Premier Division a couple of years ago, and they also squeaked out of a points per game playoff situation as well, didn't they? So they just about stayed at step three by the skin of their teeth, securing survival right at the end of the season. And then it's been another tough year of adjustment going across to the Southern Premier League Central. And Steve Kittrick, to be fair, only came in at the tail end of last season for half a dozen or so games. And one thing you can absolutely say about him is he comes with know-how, he comes with experience, he knows how to put a team together. He also knows, by the way, how to succeed at step three, having taken Guiseley up to National League North not so long ago. But he's obviously kind of conscious of the challenge that's ahead, because he got a taste of it, didn't he, with Belper at the start of last season. In fact, he's on record this week in an interview with the official YouTube channel saying he thinks the Northern Premier League is tougher and has greater depth than the Southern Premier League. And that's kind of indicated with how he's gone about his summer. They've made more than a dozen signings. So there's, you know, a familiar theme with one or two of the other teams we've spoken about tonight. They're going to need time to gel and to bed in. I still would probably say for them, the mid-table finish would represent progress on the past couple of years. But knowing Steve, he'll be more ambitious than that. Ilkeston, I mean, everything that you don't want to happen is happening for them at the moment. There's nothing wrong with a change of manager in the summer, that happens all the time. But for one to have come so late in pre-season, so they started the summer with Jamie Ward and then Gary Haywood's come in, they probably only had one or two friendlies for him to look at the squad before going into the weekend. I think they're going to find it really, really tough in the first few weeks of the season while he kind of gets to grips with things. But one thing you can say about Gary is, again, for those who've followed the Northern Premier League for a little while, super successful at Buxton, put together a very, very good side that was pleasing on the eye, by the way, as well. So definitely a guy that you can count on. I hope he gets the time to rebuild, but it's very, very hard to do that once the season has started. So perhaps a rocky road initially for them, but they'll be hoping then that, it kind of settles as he gets to grips with things.
Let's go through the league table now. And I think the only way we could do this is reverse order from their finishing positions from last season and just get a general vibe about things. Incidentally, we will be hearing from Mark Rovers in a second about Morpeth Town and Mask United, both teams finishing above the relegation line. But before we talk about Morpeth and Mask, James, let's just talk about Atherton Coles. Dave Chadwick has gone in there now at Alder House. What's your thoughts on Atherton Coles this season? Because they too have had a bit of an overhaul.
They have indeed. I mean, they recruited well in the likes of a couple of great academy signings from Burnley, local area, but the big issue for them is they've lost a lot of players. So it's going to be how quick that team can gel at its moment in time.
That's going to be key, isn't it? Because Atherton Coles, ever since their promotion, one of the things they've had the benefit of is that never say die attitude and picking up wins against anyone in the top half of the table. And that's kind of how Dave Chadwick played as a player. And I'm imagining he'll want to translate that into management at Alder House for next season.
It's difficult to underestimate how much of a challenge that they've got, not just because there's been a high turnover of players, because there's quite a few clubs in that position, but they've lost the heartbeat of that team with Brad Cook going and then also losing the likes of Danny Lafferty, Gaz Pete, Clive Smith, Ben Hardcastle. These are like Atherton legends. So the kind of soul, for without being a kind of too profound about it, has been lost from that dressing room. And it takes time to build that back up again. I have seen Atherton Coles. They came down to play friendly at Northwich a couple of weeks ago, and they have made one or two quite nice signings. Actually, Harvey Gregson coming in from Fylde played really well that night. They've got really high hopes for Nathan Kane to score some goals for them after he went there from Stalybridge. And they've got some Northern Premier League know-how. You know, Dave Chadwick, he's obviously got good contacts. He's brought in Josh Askew, and Jordan Fagbull has gone there after leaving very highly rated midfielder Sidi Fofana, who's played over here locally for Runcorn and finished last season at Clitheroe. So they've made some quite useful signings, but it just takes time to gel when you've brought in 15, 16, 17 new players. And he got spot on. How long that takes will dictate how competitive they can be this season.
Let's touch upon the North East contingent now, Morpeth Town and Mask United. And who better to discuss the chances of those two clubs in the upcoming season than North East football writer, Mr. Mark Carruthers, who I caught up with on Thursday. Well, Mark, a big welcome back to the NPL show, and I hope you've had a lovely summer. We've got you on to discuss the North East contingent with regards to the Northern Premier League Premier Division. Let's start off with Morpeth Town and Craig Lynch's hopes for the season to come. I suppose everyone at the club will just want a better season than last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a disappointing season last season. There's no doubt about that. The squad really shouldn't have been in and around where it was the last week of the season. I think there's certainly better than that. For whatever reason, it's happened. But I remember being there on the bank holiday Monday when I think they played Mask, and it was one of them where both clubs were sort of looking over their shoulders, and neither will want that this year. I think Morpeth have done some pretty decent business, no more so in the last sort of 48 hours. The squad looks to have a bit of balance about it now. There's competition for places, and it's one of them, I think, with Morpeth this year. It's just a case of, can they push up towards mid-table, not be looking over their shoulders? Can, you know, Craig Lynch really put his stamp on that squad? And it looks like there's a lot of pace around the side. There's a lot of good ball players, so can they use that surface up at Craig Park and play the sort of football that they should be able to play on it? But there's no doubt last season was very disappointing. They've obviously lost players as well. But I think the squad's in a pretty good place. There may be one or two more coming in, hopefully before the start of the season, over the coming weeks. And I think mid-table should be their aim this season.
And I think when we spoke towards the, you know, throughout last season about Morpeth, we were saying that Craig's tried to reshape the squad, so to use a terrible footballing phrase, it was very much a transitional year. But when you throw in the injuries as well, it was an uphill battle. But when I saw Morpeth towards the back end of last season, you could see that it was a good team and the players were there. It was just missing a couple of things. And I'm imagining, based on what you've said here and some of the acquisitions they've made, they'll be looking to have added that something to the point where they were a couple of seasons ago.
I mean, they brought in Ryan Wanwell from Spennymoor Town, who's done all right in the National League North, whether that's with Gateshead or Spenny. He's obviously had experience with Mask at this level as well. You look at, as I say, in the last 48 hours, they've taken two players on loan from South Shields and Will Jenkins and Sam Hodgson, who are really rated. And I think, again, two players with experience of the NPL with South Shields, I think they're really clever additions. So I think there is good business being done. I think they've got the squad that can do it. They will need to make a good start. They've got obviously a tricky start to the season, but they should be positive going into it.
Let's go down the coast now to Mask and what's been going on over there during the close season. Graham Lee is now the manager at Mask. And before I talk about, you know, the chances at Mount Pleasant for a better season than last year, that's quite an appointment, isn't it, Graham Lee? He's, for those unaware, Middlesbrough born, a bit of a Hartlepool legend, knows the area very well. He's got bags of experience as well. This is it's a good appointment, isn't it?
I think it was always going to take a big character and a big personality locally to come in and replace someone like Carl Jarrett. Every time I come on here, I've always said just how well thought of, what a legend Carl Jarrett is at Mask. So it was always going to take an ambitious appointment. And I think this is it. You know, this is the ambitious appointment that they needed. Everyone up here knows what Graham's about. Like you say, it was a legend at Hartlepool, still highly thought of there. His last job was with Hartlepool. And he's wasted no time in, you know, putting his own stamp on the squad. Some really eye-catching signings there. So, again, I think people sometimes forget last year was Mask's first year in the Premier Division.
You know what? When you were talking then, I was like, "What?" My next question is going to be just the fact, it was similar to what we said about Morpeth, transitional year. Last season, Liversidge, who got promoted with Mask, got relegated and Mask didn't. So, therefore, you've got to see it as a good season, haven't you?
Going into that season, if you said you'd stay up, they would have been happy with it. And that was exactly what they did. Yes, it looked a bit dicey at times. I think they got off to a pretty positive start. They had, you know, some notable cup results, which built the momentum. But then, obviously, having a couple of managerial appointments through the season never helps. But the main thing was just to stay in the league and give themselves a platform to build on. And they've done that, and now it's down to Graham to build on that. I do think it's a slightly tougher league this year, and possibly a bit more open. But I look at the recruitment, and you know, people like Nathan Thomas, who has been at Sheffield United, he's been at Hartlepool, he's been at Carlisle, he's been to York. Really ambitious signing again, someone who will improve that squad. Jake Hackett, who's again another one that knows the league from when he was at Whitby. Nathan Dale, who's come in from a club in Iceland, but has played at Gateshead in the National League. So there are players with either experience at this level or higher. So the squad, to me, looks strong this year. I think, again, it's possibly just about that next stepping stone almost for Mask and possibly pushing towards mid-table. But maybe just have a dull season and a non-eventful season where they finish mid-table and they're not looking over their shoulders. They just sort of put those foundations in place again to go again and really push on next season.
And Mark, while I've got you here, just talking about league tables and that kind of thing, we're asking everyone on the show, so you're not going to be alone in this. what is your top five in no particular order this season? I'm intrigued. I'm sure the listener is too.
I'm sure they're not, but I'll do it anyway. But yeah, it's a really, really dull answer, isn't it? But I think Macclesfield are not going to be too far away when it comes to league winners, given everything going on there. The playoffs is wide open for me. I think you could make a case for 10 teams probably to get in there. But I'm going to go Marine, Ratcliffe, Worksop, Matlock.
Okay.
So a lot of Worksop last year in the East Division. Obviously, everyone knows what they did in that division, getting as many points as they did, losing, I think it was one game all season, scoring an abundance of goals and romping to that title. Marine's recruitment, Ratcliffe's recruitment's been very good. Matlock have again, as I keep saying, got foundations that they have built on from last season. So, but I think there are, you know, as many as 9-10 teams you could make a case for in those playoffs. But Marine, Ratcliffe, Worksop and Matlock. So feel free to record and batter me at the end of the season when They are nowhere near.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for coming on. But just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. It's not just the Premier Division of the Northern Premier League. You also do the East Division, of course, at Step 4. But it's across the board, up and down non-league. So how could people keep across your work?
Yeah, the East Division this year has got an interesting North-East mix to it with Newton Aycliffe and Ashton's promotion. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @MarkCruthers_. I'm also on Threads, which obviously has come up this summer. I'm on that with the same username. But there'll be plenty of stuff across the local press here in the Northeast and the non-league paper as well. So looking forward to an exciting season across the board.
No, good stuff. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. Have a lovely weekend this weekend. Enjoy the remainder of August and we'll catch up again very soon.
Thanks for having me.
Football writer from the Northeast of England, Mark Ruthers there. Let's go a bit further down the East Coast now to Whitby Town. And it's a big welcome back to the show to Mr. Andrew Stay from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Hiya, Ben. Yeah, doing well and looking forward to the start of the season.
Welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us. Just to give us the lie of the land at the Turnbull Ground. How's pre-season gone?
It's not gone too badly, actually. I was going to be a bit more optimistic, but you've kind of beaten it all out of me off air.
Whoa.
Everyone's optimistic.
Everyone's optimistic, it's true. Everyone is.
Half the league are going to be utterly deflated by 5 p.m. on Saturday. Hopefully I won't be one of them. But yeah, I've been quite optimistic. I think Whitby, from what I've seen and admittedly, we've played mainly sides from lower down the pyramid, though we did beat South Shields of National North, of course, earlier on in the summer. Quite 2-1, but a strong 2-1. 2-1 flattered them. So I've been dangerously optimistic for the last few weeks. Played some really nice football, but aware that once the proper stuff starts, those defenders just tend to get a little bit tighter and it's a little bit harder to play. But if any team makes the mistake of allowing us to play, I think we'd be have the firepower to punish teams. It's as strong a squad as I've seen depth-wise for some time. It's not like Whitby to have that kind of strength in depth. And almost all the strengthening has come in the forward positions, Ben. There's Jerome Greaves coming in and Jacob Grattan, both from Belper Town. I know they caught Nathan Haslam's eye on the final day of the season. Grattan's just a really, really, like a playmaker. He's very much in that role. You know, plays the through balls. You know, really nice on the ball. Just really, really, really composed player. And Greaves, he holds the ball up. He's a physical presence. Although I think he probably is slightly better with the ball at his feet. But they've both come in and made an impact in the summer. But I am aware that I'm building them up and we haven't kicked a ball yet competitively. And the other big forward signing for Whitby is a striker whose league experience was at Mask United last season. It's his second spell at Whitby. Junior Mondal has returned. Very, very tricky forward player. Great on the ball, eye for goal. And obviously Brad Fuster still at the club, a top scorer from last season. And Connor Simpson looking good as well, another forward. So, you know, spoilt for choice at the moment. But I'll go with a top half finish. I think the side is more than capable of doing that. I'll probably stop at that point and not embarrass myself.
And let's jump in with both feet with that regard, Andrew, and let's go for your top five predictions for this season more generally. A top half finish, really, if it was anything like the playoff battle we had last season, means that you're going to be in and around that playoff line and in with a shout right up until, you know, the closing stages of the season with a top half finish. But who do you think is going to be in that top five?
Well, I'm probably going to parrot a lot of the other responses you've had on the show, Ben. Macclesfield are my title winners. I've got Radcliffe second, Guiseley third, Worksop fourth, and Marine in fifth.
Okay, okay. Well, there you go. I'm sure someone's... In fact, I know James is. James is keeping a spreadsheet somewhere for later in the season. So,
James,
if you're listening, which I know he is because he always checks my work, please do make a note of Andrew Snaith's suggestions there for the top five. But just before you go, Andrew, just a quick plug for Whitby Town Radio. It's always good to start the league season with a home game. Atherton Coles visiting the Turnbull Ground on Saturday for this season opener. Full commentary, I'm assuming, on Whitby Town Radio.
Absolutely, yeah. Paul Connolly, Liam Ryder leading the way there. I'm going to be in a mere spectator capacity. It is also regatta weekend at Whitby, which is always very, very popular and packed out, just like Goth weekend. And it's, so that's hugely, hugely popular. And also, believe it or not, Ben, and I don't know if this is a first, but there is an army parachutist as part of the regatta, coming down with the match ball pre-match.
Well, big good luck to that parachutist.
Absolutely.
Big good luck to the football. Always an underappreciated element of a skydive, I feel, a football.
I agree. Is that a first in the MPL, Ben? I'm intrigued.
Well, get in touch, dear listener. Let us know if your club that you support has ever had a parachutist drop in for a visit pre-kickoff with the ball. Brilliant stuff to kick off the league season at the Turnbull Ground. And Andrew Snaith, big thank you for joining us, and we'll catch up again next month for a good old-fashioned fixture preview. It's good to be back.
Always a pleasure, Ben, and I agree.
Andrew Snaith there from Whitby Town Radio, and a big thank you to Andrew, and a big thank you to Mark Rovers as well earlier. Simo, Ashton United, Steve Cunningham has had a pre-season under his belt at Hurst Cross. The recruitment was very strong at the Tamesiders when he came in, but that didn't translate necessarily into results on the pitch. You'd imagine they'll be wanting to get off to a flyer. Tough start, though. We worked in a way.
Yeah, welcome to the new season. Yeah, it was a really weird one at Ashton, wasn't it? Because you summarised it perfectly. They just weren't able to kind of generate any momentum at all. And they were 12th in the table when he went in, and they pretty much finished around that, maybe just below that, finished around that area in the table. They kind of won as many as they lost. So a lot of figuring out for him to do in those kind of final months of the season. Ashton absolutely have faith in his ability as a manager, though, because they offered him a 2-year contract at the end of the season, which he has signed. So they're kind of building something for the medium term with him in charge. Big coup to have brought in Alex Byrne from Matlock, a guarantee of assists for goals. They've also brought in Joe Robinson, Bamba Bridge, who has been with Ashton previously, and they also brought in Marcus Cassani from Atherton Coles. So they've made some quite shrewd signings. He's already kind of started to evolve the squad, so there's only kind of been a handful of signings, which I think is a good thing. They absolutely will be targeting improvement. They will expect improvement as well, and I think he'll deliver it.
There we go. And then we go to Lancaster and Stafford. Am I wrong, James, to put those two together? Stafford, they finished really strong towards the back end of the season. Lancaster City also finished very strong, getting themselves into mid-table. Both Matt Fell at Lancaster and Matt Hill at Stafford Rangers, they'll want to continue that form from the latter half of last season into this new campaign.
Yeah, I mean, amazing enough to both play each other on the first day of the season as well. So, yes, yeah, Stafford, first of all, they've kept the core of the team from last year. Campbell was still in there. Obviously, the only big player that you could say they've lost is really Jack Baxter at this moment in time. Obviously, Callum Saunders has left them at two, but you look at them from the last couple of seasons, they're starting to grow a little bit at a time. I still remember 3-4 seasons ago, we were all saying that they were going to be in a scrap for survival. Come towards the end of last season, they were, especially the last 5-6 games, when you compare it at the same time, this is going to be a different Stafford team than we've been used to in the last couple of years. So with Lancaster, we know Mark Fels, he's got that little bit of that core team mentality at the same time too. That's going to be an interesting fixture in the first day of the season, just to see how both play out. But I think we've got to expect a lot more out of them two sides.
Yeah, it was injuries, wasn't it, that got Lancaster at the start of last year, if memory serves, Simo. It was...
Really was. They had a terrible, terrible time and did brilliantly to recover in the way that they did in the second half of the season.
I mean, that's the thing. You're still getting results at the same time with the injuries, though, as well.
I remember the game against FC United. FC had no forwards, and I think Lancaster had no defenders, and in the end, Lancaster won. So I don't know what that says. But yeah, right, let's touch upon Rylands then, because Simo, Warrington Rylands, they were never really, in that, when we were discussing our excitement, you know, generating excitement, getting everyone excited about the playoffs or trying our best to do that. Warrington Rylands were never really involved in our conversation. In the end, though, they only finished a point behind Marine. So it wasn't that bad an end to the season at Warrington Rylands. Michael Clegg's had a pre-season. What's your thoughts on what's possible at the Warrington Club?
Well, I think if this time last year you told them they'd go through three managers and still finish in the top 10, they probably would have taken that. Although exact absolutely wasn't their plan at all. Cleggie did what Cleggie does, and he had an impact and a stabilising impact when he came in after Jody Bannum left and guiding him to a top 10 finish. And let's remind listeners that their first ever season at this level is a very tidy return indeed. And I've seen them during this pre-season, and they've got lots of reasons to be optimistic. They've made some really, really good signings. There's a little bit of a theme of Cleggie getting the band back together with bringing in Ben Hardcastle and who he had Adam Coles, and he's brought in a couple of lads who he had when he was at Ashton United with Ben Huff going in. Matt Regan, who a lot of people will know as well. Clive Smith, who he had earlier on, has gone over to Rylands as well. But one thing he's done really well, I think, is they did struggle to score goals last season, and that's where he's made the most reinforcements. So he's brought Scott Backer back to Rylands, who obviously is from Warrington, so back to one of his hometown teams. But they've also signed Joe Piggott, who Teagot will know from Radcliffe. But they've also made a really clever signing. They've brought in Adama Sidibe from Cheadley Nomads. It's a little bit of a gamble to bring someone up from the North West Counties League, but I was super impressed with him when I saw him against Witten a few weeks back. So he's got real variety and real options in the final third of the field. So I would be very quietly optimistic for Rylands to make a real go of it this season, and then they've got the right man in charge to do that.
And while you're talking, Simo, just to touch upon Marine as well, because their recruitment has been pretty good. Neil Young, obviously, the recruitment last summer was pretty good. They've built on it.
Yeah, I think Marine's a fascinating case study. I mean, they ended up ninth, and again, they were a team that was in the conversation for the playoffs. But if you remember, they had a really, really tough run in when they played a lot of teams around them in the table. They just couldn't quite pick up enough points, but it was a really fierce run in. They just ran out of steam and ran out of road. But what's interesting is it's Neil Young's kind of torn it up. I was quite surprised when I saw the retained list or how short it was, because they've moved on such a high number of players over the summer. However, and this is why lots of people are getting excited about Marine, he's pretty much upgraded in every single position where he's moved somebody on. So, again, the followers of the Northern Premier League will be familiar with the likes of Darius Osei, who's come down from South Shields, but obviously has played in the Northwest previously. He's brought in Finn Sinclair Smith, who tore it up for Bamber Bridge last season. So he's come down to bolster an attack in which Sol Solomon had a really good debut season. If you remember, they've brought in Michael Carberry after he got released from Southport, so a guy who's playing in the National League North last season. They've also brought in Lewis White from Halifax, who started last season at Glossop, and I thought he was absolutely outstanding for them. Definitely earned his move up the ladder, but has kind of dropped back down again. I think he'll be a very clever signing for Marine, and you can probably hear it in my voice. So I would be very excited about their prospects for this season. They might not thank me for saying this, but I do think they're in the conversation to challenge for the title.
Myself and Burke saying the same thing. Very, very early dark horses, I think, for the title myself there.
Well, there we go. And
Neil.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's right. We do apologise to any manager who we've said your team's going to do well this year. But it sometimes works. Often our predictions are right, Simo, aren't they? Often.
We do know what we're talking about.
Occasionally.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes we fluke it. But anyway, and speaking of expectations, James Hayes, let's go to you now, because Stainton Park, it has been a hive of expectation. It's partly your fault, but also Jono and Bernard have come in there, and it's been a good pre-season, some good recruitment. What's the mood at the club like?
I think it's fair to say, for the first time in many years I've come on the podcast, I can finally feel confident going into a season.
Don't rewrite history. Simo, this was the same conversation we had last year. I'm not just bantering him up here. That's true, no. Isn't it?
Don't let him get away with it, Ben.
No, last season, I think it was even going to go one or two ways. Very good or very, very poorly. I can't really say it's going to be a bad season for us this year. It's recruited well. Obviously, Bernard and John, local lads, are coming after what's happened at Chester, at Spennymoor. Matt Hewis has been an absolute star in the net. Kept a handful of players from last year, like Rick Smith, Ollie Fawley, Nicky Adams. But the recruit, it looks like a completely different side. And the expectation this year with Radcliffe is, you know what, this is probably the best chance they'll have of getting promoted this season if everything goes well and good. But a very, very tough start with Ronson Rylands. But optimism is high this year and they've got every opportunity to go push for the title.
I think, at the risk of sounding all talks, but I think they have to challenge for the title with that squad that they've put together. And I think they will. I think they will challenge for the title. It's quite a good position for them to be in because Mac is still going to be favourites. So even if they, you know, do fall short, it can't possibly be framed as a failure because of who they're up against. But the know-how and kind of, you know, John and Bernard have been quite open about this when they've done interviews, like what they've learned from the experiences at Chester and Spennymoor, and then the kind of also the emotional tie that they've got with coming back to a club like Radcliffe. I just think makes them formidable opposition for Mac if it is going to be a head-to-head. Or as I pointed out earlier, I'm not sure it'll be a two-way. I think there'll be other teams in the conversation. So, yeah, really high hopes for Radcliffe.
I agree that 100%. Like I said before, Marine, I think, are going to be one of them a really good pushing forward too. But obviously, the thought of the end of last season, again, the defeat at Nantwich Town, last game of the season where they could have made the playoffs.
To be fair, Radcliffe finished seventh last year, very strong finish, and won the County Cup as well. So it wasn't that bad a season at all, really. And as we've touched upon here, definitely a springboard into next season. That's for sure, with John and Bernard in charge at Stainton Park. Now, at this point, I'm going to hand over to Simo, who, let's be honest, one day will take over the hosting of this show. So this is kind of like an apprenticeship that's going on here.
It's an exam, isn't it?
Yeah. So over to Simo. And what's going to happen now to those listeners who are unaware, I'm going to put a different hat on. I'm going to put my FC United punditry hat on. Just over here.
Just by the guitar.
There it is.
Oh, there we go.
Painting pictures with words.
Yeah, and that guitar is very much out of tune, unlike FC United, who are very much in tune. Over to you, Simo.
Ooh, yes, I have some very carefully prepared questions for you, Ben, as always. Let's touch on the departures of two really key members of the FC United squad over the past few seasons in Michael Potts and Adam Dodd. Now, neither of them actually played a full season last year, but I would still be interested to hear your thoughts on kind of what will FC miss with not having two characters like that around.
Well, it's missing those characters, isn't it? I mean, they've gone back to Bamber Bridge and they go with FC United's best wishes. I mean, they've been great servants for the club, but they've been replaced, which is just the way it goes, isn't it? Charlie Munro, Charlie Oliver, both signings from Southport, have had excellent pre-seasons. Jay Fitzmartin from Atherton Coles has had a very good pre-season. And me and you have spoken in the past about Elliot Morris from Skelmersdale United.
Absolutely. I am a senior member of the Elliot Morris supporters club.
Yeah, and I think he's gonna do well. And the other thing I have to say is as well, you mentioned a signing coming up from the Northwest Counties. Forgive me, I can't remember the club. Was it Warrington Rylands?
Rylands.
Nothing wrong with players coming out of the Northwest Counties. It's a hotbed of talent. And Max Kane, who we got from Barlick last season, he's looking lean and he's had a brilliant pre-season as well. And him, Fitzmartin and Morris have been hooking up really well in pre-season. Obviously, pre-season matters not. You can win as many games as you want in pre-season and then you come up against Worksop Town and here's your first defeat in game one. But I think we're going to be okay. But ultimately, Simo, we are just here for a good time.
I have a second question which follows on beautifully from what you've just said. So last two seasons, FC have been 8th and 9th, which is very solid inside the top 10. But Neil Reynolds, a very ambitious guy. You've set the background there with talking about recruitment. I totally agree. I think it's been a really solid summer. So to bridge the gap and get back into that kind of top five conversation, what did FC United need? And do you think they've found it on the evidence you've seen this summer?
I think yes. However, the one thing that was missing last year, it was never ability. beating South Shields home and away, getting four points off Warrington. But they did get beat by Africa Coles twice last season, got beat at home off Liversidge. We got a draw at home to Nantwich Town. You know, I think we worked out on FC Radio, there was about 21 points against teams, and I'm not just talking in the lower half, I mean in the lower third, where we drop points. And if we can just tie that off, then we should be okay. And what did you say? Ninth, eighth? My prediction, seventh. We'll be there or thereabouts, I'm going to suggest. Also looking to... Was that okay, by the way, just before I go back and put me presenter hat back on?
I have got the answers I was seeking.
Okie dokie. Right, I'll just put the hat back over on this. There you go. Right, back to presenting mode. And speaking of teams who were there or thereabouts last season, let's go to Hyde United now. And Hyde United will consider themselves very, very unlucky not to have made the playoffs. They had a phenomenal campaign last season in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division. And one person who was there throughout the whole campaign was 26-0's very own Luke Edwards. And I caught up with Luke on Thursday. Well, Luke, a big thank you for joining us. So how's Hyde's pre-season been as we head towards the big league kickoff this weekend?
It's been decent, Ben. Yeah, some good results, good tests against higher opposition, the likes of Oldham. Also played Huddersfield, their sort of youth team, but still like a good professional outfit. So yeah, results have been decent, performances have been good, but it's all about Saturday.
And how's recruitment been? Because obviously there's been a couple of big names leave, but how's Nick Spooner's recruitment been?
Yeah, been good. He's looked to sort of get more experience in so they can push on from last year. Brought in Lewis Alessandro from South Shields. Harry Bunn's come in, who's at Buxton last season and Ashton at the back end of last season. Joel Amado and Bailey Thompson coming from Coles. Richard Brannigan's coming in goal. We've got Sonny Whittingham back. He's just re-signed this week. We had him on loan from Huddersfield last year. Really good young player. So, yeah, good mix of youth and experience.
And generally, I mean, what's your expectations for this season for what's possible? Because last year, it was such a brilliant campaign for Hyde United, up in the top three for large spells of the season. It was only towards the end that we had this mad race towards the finish line and Hyde missed out narrowly. There's learnings there, isn't there, to use a terrible corporate phrase. There's an certainly a springboard for this season.
Yeah, that's what the manager said as well. He's maybe learned stuff in terms of you get a few injuries and suspensions, where to recruit quicker, maybe mix it up a bit quicker as well. You've got to remember, he's still quite new to the job and this division. Only second full season now. He feels this is his team now, though. In terms of how we can do, obviously, what I'd do better than last year, but it's such a tough league this year. You look at what teams have been doing. It's just crazy, isn't it?
Speaking of those other teams, we have been asking all the pundits who are on the show this week for their top five. I'm not going as far to say, you know, give me the order, because I think that's going to be a tough call. But what's your general vibe about the top five this season? Assuming Hyde have already got one of those top five spots.
Yeah, well, I've got Buzz in there. Obviously, Matt Radcliffe. I mean, could Matlock be dark horses again? Could they carry on from last year? Bamber Bridge. You don't know what they're going to do. I think Marine might well be up there. Do you know what? I'll stick Bradford Park Avenue in because I think they've got more or less quite a lot of the same squad they had came down last year, but they're on a good run of form last year and they've got a good manager. So I might stick them in there. So I'll go Radcliffe, Macclesfield. People say Lancaster. Lancaster, dark horses. So I'm going to go, Macclesfield, Radcliffe, Lancaster, Bradford Park Avenue and Marine.
There we go. Well, Luke, it all gets started properly this weekend, and it's a decent start to the season, isn't it, for Hyde United? Geisley, tough game. Paul Phillips, Geisley coming to Ewan Fields. Get yourself down to the game if you can. But Luke, if you can't make the game, there is 26-0, of course.
Yeah, there is. Myself and Berkey over there, so yeah, you can tune in. The important thing is just to get off to a good start in it on Saturday for everyone. But there will be. I can predict one thing: there will be winners and losers.
Thank you, Luke. And of course, draws. Plenty of draws as well. But Luke Edwards, from 26-0, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your Thursday evening to join us on this week's show. Big good luck with the first proper broadcast of the season this weekend against Geisler, and catch up again as we get some more results in.
Cheers, Ben.
Luke Edwards from 26-0. And of course, you can hear Hyde United's game against Guiseley on 26-0 on Saturday afternoon from 3 o'clock at Ewan Fields. And just a reminder, there's commentary at most of the games, James, isn't there? So it's not just 26-0 or FC Radio. Loads of commentaries this weekend.
Yeah, I think from my last count, we've got 20 commentaries for this weekend. And as it stands at the start of the season, 38 known links that have been performing on match days.
Wow.
So
let's go to the teams who finished in the playoff positions last season, starting off with Matlock Town, Simo. And I think we mentioned earlier a club who had three managers last season. That was Warrington Rylands, who finished 10th. It's miraculous that Matlock Town managed to get themselves in fifth position last season. All credit to Martin Carruthers for achieving that. It is definitely something to build on, what happened last season, for this campaign.
100%. And kind of, I think I was thinking about Matlock before when we're preparing for the show, and I think I am going to fall into the trap of them. There is now raised expectations for them because of what they did at the end of last season. I mean, they just ran into the juggernaut that was Warrington Town in the semi-final, and I'm not sure anybody would have beaten Warrington that night. So no shame at all in kind of just falling short in that respect. But he's had a pre-season there now, Martin Carruthers, as you say, so he's been able to kind of fetch in more players that he feels are important to the cause. I mentioned this guy's name earlier. They have lost Alex Burns to Ashton United. That is a big blow to Matlock, and I don't think you can underestimate that. On the positive, though, they've made a brilliant signing in getting John O'Margits in from Stamford. Absolutely prolific at step four in the past couple of years, and I think he'll continue to score goals at step three. They've also brought in Andrew Wright, who was captain at Gainsborough last season, and I think that's a really clever sign, and he also weighs in with goals from midfield. So I still think it's looking really, really good for Matlock, and they should expect to challenge for a playoff place, and I'm going to back them to be in that mix, absolutely.
And for those of you at home who've been following this show on a spreadsheet or some kind of cliche bingo card or something like that, there's only two teams left. And one of them is Bamber Bridge, who is the highest placed team from last season, if you exclude Bradford Park Avenue. Bamber Bridge finishing third last season. James, it was a phenomenal season. And just a reminder, Swampy did predict Bamber Bridge would make the playoffs. We've already mentioned Michael Potts and Adam Dodd signing for Bamber. They have obviously lost a few players as well, but they've still got Jamie Milligan there, and that expectation's there now, and that's kind of the secret now, isn't it, to meet that expectation rather than be the surprise package they have been.
Yeah, indeed. So, and let's not forget, it was the 90th minute in that playoff final where they lost it. Milligan, he'll want to write that wrong straight away, so Bamber Bridge will be coming out the blocks absolutely flying this season, I believe. I think losing Sinclair Smith is going to be a little bit of a blow. But again, we saw it last year, Bamber to take Warrington to the 90th minute in the playoff final, who were phenomenal. And again, the playoff semi-final took games returning to penalties too. I've got a feeling they will be pushing for the playoffs again this season, but it's just how they can start their campaign. But don't be that much too much with Jamie. He's got a target on mind for Bamber Bridge now.
And lastly, for our little chat about the runners and riders in the Northern Premier League Premier Division for this coming season, let's go to Gainsborough Trinity. Neil Bishop, a phenomenal job last season at North Home. Simo, what are the chances of it happening again?
That's a hard question. They've had a bit of a tough summer. I mean, the chairman, Richard Kane, stood down pretty soon after the end of the season, so there's been some upheaval off the field for Gainsborough. Not only that, they've lost Clayton Donaldson, their leading scorer last season. He's gone into management, hasn't he, at Farsley Celtic in National League North. They've also lost Liam Waldock, who was outstanding for them last season, goal scoring midfielder. He's been snapped up by Alfreton, also in the National League North. Which leads me to ask, how on earth do you replace that many goals in one go? Really, really difficult. I also touched on it a moment ago. They lost their captain, Andrew Wright, who's gone to Matlock. So a rebuild job for Neil Bishop. He's made some good signings, though. They've brought in Dale Southwell from Alfreton, and they've brought in Bobby Johnson from Farsley. So they've brought in guys who were playing at a higher level last season. But given that, if you remember, they were probably the most improved team in the league last season after finishing 17th the previous year, firing themselves up to fourth. It's a very, very hard act to follow for all of the reasons that we've discussed during this preview. But I still think they'll be super competitive and will be just fine.
Well, that's everybody. And I hope you've enjoyed our run through all the runners and riders with regards to the pitching in Northern Premier League, Premier Division for this season. James is unable to give his prediction for this season. Are you unable? I mean, you've already pretty much said Radcliffe are going to be there or thereabouts. So who's your top five in any order, James?
I'm still struggling for my fifth at the moment, but I feel enough of the four that we've spoke about so far. Macclesfield, Radcliffe, Marine, and I think, honestly, Keighley are due for a good season at this moment too with how they recruited, so I won't be surprised if they're another dark horse potentially pushing through, but for the fifth, I'm still really struggling to decide at this moment in time.
There we go. I'll let you off. And Simo, last word to you, because we've already asked our contributors for their predictions. So who's your top five?
So no particular order. I mean, same as Teagot for Mac, Radcliffe and Marine. I think they'll be fighting out for the title, and then whoever doesn't win it will be in the playoffs. And for the remaining two places in the playoffs, I've got FC United.
Good lad. You can come back.
I really, really have a good feeling for FC this season. So, and I'm going to cheat ever so slightly. I think it's a coin toss between Matlock and Bamber Bridge. I think they're both going to have another really good season, and one of those two will squeak into fifth. So that'll be my top five. But yeah, Teagot's right. I think guys would be a lot closer than they were last season, but might just fall short. But yeah, there you go.
Unfortunately, Soccer AM is no longer with us, so I can use this phrase. My prediction is football will be the winner. that line there just popped into my head just as you were talking, Sim. I went, how am I going to get out of this? I'll just do Jimmy Bullard. That's fine. That'll be all right. Yeah,
why
football
not?
Will be the winner. And one thing is for sure, James, we'll be able to find out who all the winners are this week. In fact, the excellent social media work from the Northern Premier League. Just once again, plug all of the commentaries that are going to be taking place this weekend. Big good luck to everyone for this opening weekend of the Northern Premier League Premier Division, the npl.co.uk. Head over to the fixture tab. Some mouth-watering fixtures on Saturday afternoon. Basford United taking on Morpeth Town. What a game. We've already mentioned it at the Horsfall Stadium. Bradford Park Avenue against Macclesfield. FC United taking on Worksop Town. Can Worksop keep their unbeaten run going? Gainsborough Trinity against Marine.
Whoa.
And I nearly did a James Richardson then. I nearly went woof, but I didn't. Hyde United against Geisler. Lancaster City against Stafford Rangers. Mask against Ilkeston Town. Matlock Town against Bamber Bridge. Warrington Rylands against Radcliffe. Whitby Town against Atherton Coles. And Workington against Ashton United. James, social media links, please, for this brilliant weekend to come.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads, official Northern Premier. And X/whatever what it calls itself this week, Visual Northern Prem as well. Also, just a quick shout out for some of the FA Cup results this week. And if you've not seen the highlights, the rugby 5-5 in the Blimey. Electric Blooming Round, go and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. What a game. But anyway, they did go through on the replay rugby, didn't they?
Yeah, they won 2-1.
Yeah, so congratulations to everyone who progressed through that extra preliminary round of the FA Cup. It's a ridiculous time of year to be having that game. That's of such importance. But a big congratulations to everyone in the Northern Premier League who progressed through to the next round. And we'll cover off more about the FA Cup in later weeks. But that's it for this preview of the upcoming season. We'll be back next week with a little run through all the results, and we'll be catching up with some managers as well. But James Hayes, big thank you for joining us on this preview show.
No problem, Ben.
Big thank you to Simo, Andrew Simpson. Big thank you, as always, for joining us. Have a lovely weekend. Just a quick plug for where you're off to this weekend.
So I will be at Vauxhall Motors and Witton Albion this weekend as the West Division also, of course, gets underway. But I'll be at plenty of Premier Division games as well as the season unfolds. And you can follow it all at @Simo_on_sport.
Good stuff. And obviously, there's plenty of cracking venues to watch Northern Premier League football, but that clubhouse at Vauxhall Motors is a good one.
So good. I believe. I've not been there for a couple of seasons, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Well, have fun this weekend. And you, listener, you have fun as well. And a big thank you to everyone who's joined me for this season preview of the Pitching In NPL show. Have a lovely weekend, and you'll be here for us again next week. You take care. Bye-bye.